All right. Well, I had a dream the other night. Before I went to bed, I was thinking about my schedule, kind of planning out my schedule for the week. And I was also thinking about evaporative coolers, which are also called swamp coolers. And between the two, I had this reoccurring dream throughout the night of like, and I don't know what you know about an evaporative cooler, but it's basically got two electrical parts. It has a big fan that blows air into your house. And then it also has a pump that pumps water up onto this pad. And then as the air blows through the water, it evaporates and cools the air. And it makes it nice and cool. So if you can just turn the fan on and it'll just blow air from outside, whatever temperature that is, into your house. And you can also just turn the pump on and it'll do nothing. It'll just put water on that. And so in my dream, I was dreaming about this and in light of my schedule, but I felt like the dream was, it was about if all I do is plan my schedule and do my activities, it's kind of like just turning on the fan. And so all this air is moving through my life, through the world. But unless the pump is on, unless there's actually water flowing, it's of no real value. It's just a bunch of hot air. It doesn't bring life. It's not cooling. It's not empowering. It's nothing. And just that in our lives, all that activity without the Spirit of God, without the breath of God, without His movement and empowering is just a bunch of empty activity. And so, I was kind of dreaming about this for I don't know how many hours, but it was kind of driving me crazy. And then I got up and the friend said, oh, I don't actually need you. I'm going to hire a professional at the swamp cooler. So it was a good thing. So this morning, I just kind of, I don't know what you bring this morning. I want to take a moment and just invite you to let go of whatever you have. And we got another 50 minutes here. I'm going to speak for a little bit. We're going to sing a couple more songs. And I want to invite you to just turn off whatever that is. When you leave here, it'll still be there. It won't go away. And so I don't know what kind of challenges or what kind of things are on your mind, but I just want to take a moment and right where you're at, just stop and ask God for an awareness of His presence. And if you have some things that are really on your mind a lot, I want you to just give those to God. And so. Father, thank you for this morning and thank you for the privilege of just coming and intentionally stopping and intentionally being in your presence. Thank you for being here. I thank you that you are always with us, that you are always present. And yet, I intentionally stop and just acknowledge your presence. Acknowledge that you are at work. God, I give you my distractions. I find my own heart and mind distracted this morning. I come before you asking for you to speak, asking for clarity. God, I acknowledge that without your input, it's just a bunch of hot air this morning. I ask that you would speak to us and teach us, that you would touch our hearts in a deep way, that you would continue to walk us on your path. I ask that you would feed us and strengthen us, lead us in your direction. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus said to the crowd, he said, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Come and be satisfied. Come and find what you're looking for. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Not only will you find a moment of satisfaction or a thirst quenched, but water comes from within. Water, the Spirit of God moving through us to continue to satisfy and continue to direct and empower and give us life. And so we've been kind of looking at this, looking at some different encounters of people with Jesus. And so today we're going to look at an encounter of someone who came to Jesus, saw something in Jesus, courageously came to him and was accepted. And so before we jump into that story, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm sure you can relate at some level. I remember in eighth grade, I had a really amazing teacher. His name was Mr. Reed. And he asked all of us to write an autobiography. So in eighth grade, I don't know how much of an autobiography you really have at that time. But he had different things we were supposed to put in there, really challenging questions to write about. And then after he graded them, he said that he had selected his favorite sentence, his favorite paragraph, and his favorite essay. And so I remember the favorite sentence that he had picked out was a friend of mine named Josh Burns. And so he asked him to read it in front of the class. And I don't know why I remember some of the things I remember, and I don't remember other important things, but I remember he read his sentence. He says, "I was short, I am short, and I always will be short." And then he said, "Dove has my favorite paragraph. Will you read that to the class?" And I said, "No, I won't read it." And he was like, "Come on, you should read it." I'm like, "No, I don't want to read this paragraph." And so he talked me into it, and I read this paragraph out loud in front of the class, and I was talking about how I had let peer pressure influence my life, and how there was things in my life that, specifically when I was young, I was in ballet, and I really liked ballet, and I did it even after my twin brother stopped. And yet in a small town, we would have the recital, and after the recital, tons of people from the school would see me because they went and watched their families in it. Be like, "Hey, I saw you in that recital." And I liked it. I was like one of the only guys, so by fourth grade, I had some of the big roles. I got to be Toto in The Wizard of Oz. And so because of the teasing of people at school as well as my cousins, I quit ballet even though it was something that I really enjoyed. And there was other things in my life like that, that I just cut out, I stopped, I hid. And sure enough, after I read this to the class, this punk kid behind me, as we're walking out of the class, "Huh, you were in ballet? That's such a sissy thing. You're such a whatever." I was like, "This is exactly why I didn't want to read this paragraph." And so I think to some level we all experience things like that. And people have different reactions to that. Some people just turn into rebels. They're like, "All right, if you're going to reject me, you can totally reject me. I'm going to wear wild clothes. I'm going to have wild hair and go for it. I'm just going to embrace that." Some people get really angry and maybe violent. My brother was this way for a while. Like, "You want a piece of me? You got a problem? Let's do this. I'll fight you. I will take you down. If you want to say anything about me, bring it." Some people kind of disappear. Just blend into the woodwork. You don't even know they exist anymore. Maybe they get depressed. Maybe they just kind of like vanish. It's like, "Wasn't there some other kids in our class?" Just like gone. And the route I took, which I think a lot of people take, is just try to fit in. And so whatever things were not cool, I kind of got rid of. Whatever was kind of cool, I did more of that. I wasn't rich enough or really liked that route to like buy cool clothes and like kind of fit in the cool clothes route. But I remember in high school joining sports, even though I was horrible at sports. And I remember one time we were on a school trip and they were playing that Kenny Rogers song. "You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em." And we're all singing. And after we got done, or after the song, this upperclassman's like, "Dove, you should never sing ever again." And I didn't. I don't think I ever sang out loud again until like I came to Christ and we sang in church. It was like, mm-mm. And so That's how I dealt with it. Just try to fit in, kind of hide these things. And yet, as we see, God has a different method. God has a different story to tell us. And I have found that in Christ, that acceptance, that I don't have to try to fit in, I don't have to try to hide. And I have been completely transformed by that, by God's acceptance of me as well as other people's. I remember a few years ago, I was supposed to have breakfast with Marty, go for a walk, and I totally forgot. And I stood him up. And so I gave him a call later in the day, like, oh, bro, I'm so sorry. I completely spaced it. And he's like, don't even worry about it. If there's anything to forgive, you're totally forgiven. Like, don't even think about it today. And I specifically remember that day just having a really good day, having such a good start of like being forgiven and accepted in the middle of a mistake. Just like transformed me, just blessed me. And so we're going to look at an encounter with Christ. If you, there's some Bibles here. If you go to Luke 7, starting in verse 36. And so just a little background before we get into it. In this encounter, we see the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were a religious group. They had pretty set ideas and were very outwardly righteous and followed the law and did some things to really present themselves well. One of those Pharisees is Simon. And so Simon is the host of this dinner that we're going to see. And then he has some other dinner guests. I'm assuming some of them are Pharisees. I don't know that for sure. And then Jesus. And then a sinful woman. And by a sinful woman, most likely she was a prostitute. She lived a sinful life and was probably known by others for who she was. And so, starting in 36. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. They didn't like sit at chairs. They like reclined. They like laid down, kind of. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debt of both. Now which one of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Okay, so Jesus is having dinner. He's reclining, eating. this woman comes in, just sitting at his feet, crying. Tears are dropping on his feet. I don't know if she's like, oh, I'm sorry, or if she starts wiping his feet with her hair and kissing his feet. Just so, like, overcome. And then she anoints his feet with oil, with perfumes, probably something very expensive that she had. The other people are like looking like, man, Jesus, don't you know like who she is? If you were a prophet, you would realize he's more than a prophet. He even knows, he knows their thoughts. It's like, let me ask you something, Simon. Hey, there was two people that owed debts. One had a little debt and one had a big debt. And the person canceled both of them. Who's going to appreciate that more? Well, I guess the person who had a big debt canceled. You're right. Look at her. When I came in, you didn't even offer me water to wash my feet, as was the custom. There was no servant, there was no way to wash my feet, and you didn't offer. She has washed my feet with her tears. You didn't kiss me. She's kissed my feet. You didn't put oil on my head. She's poured perfume on my feet. Why? Because she has been forgiven so much. It is overflowing in a huge amount of love. But if you've only been forgiven a little bit, it overflows in a little bit of love. And then he tells her, your sins are forgiven. What? This guy can forgive sins? And tells her to go in peace. What an amazing thing. I imagine this woman, what courage it took, knowing who she was, the shame I'm sure she felt, to come into this house of a religious dude with probably religious people there, to come completely broken, just, I know I'm a sinner. And almost make a fool of herself, really. To come and just be there and just weep in front of these people. The amazing courage it took for her, but she knew, I have forgiveness in Christ, in Jesus, I have forgiveness. I don't care what other people think. I have what I want. And so we see that when a broken sinner comes to Jesus, we find that we are accepted and forgiven. And from that acceptance and forgiveness, our hearts are softened, and we have love. Love flows out. Their heart of stone is changed into a heart of love. And these other dinner guests had the same person of acceptance and forgiveness sitting right there with them. And yet, I think they just, that same thought, if you only knew who she was, that same thought, if you only knew who I was, if you only knew behind this polished appearance, behind the nice clothes that I wear to church, and behind the pretty outward exterior, if you really knew who I was, you wouldn't accept me. You wouldn't forgive me. And that same judgment they put on her, I'm assuming they put on themselves. If you really knew who I was, and they missed that opportunity to just really be who they were, to really come as a broken sinner, Is she really more of a broken sinner than those other guys in that room? Than me? Than any of us? Sometimes I can relate to both. Sometimes I'm that. I have some of that self-righteous, nah, but I've never done that. You know, it's like, and then the other times like, oh my goodness. My own soul. The things that I have thought and the things that I have, the motives I have had and the things I've said and done, and to see those, like, wow, and to come to Jesus in that, to come to Him in the midst of that. And so I want to ask you guys to do three things. The first is, will you be so vulnerable? Would you be like this woman? I want to invite you and ask you to find a time, even this week, to be really real and honest with God. And maybe you've done that hundreds of times, and maybe you haven't. And I find myself sometimes when I come in a moment of honesty to God, sometimes I'm just really on the outside. Like, thank you, God, for the doctrine of forgiveness. Thank you for, I don't know, thank you for these thoughts that I have. Thank you for the things in my life, or would you please do this? And there's other times, I don't know exactly how to come to that place. There's other times I find myself in a very honest place of like, I am so stuck without you. I find myself going back to the same garbage that I don't even like. I need you so much. I realize just my own patheticness without Christ. And to come to that place of honesty, come to that place of, here's some stuff I'm ashamed of. And I think we should be at a point where it's like this woman, I am so overflowing with love for what you've done for me. Thank you. And not only love for what you've done, I will show that love to others. And to me, if I'm at that point, it's like, yeah. But if I'm not, is there something in me? Even as John was talking about, some of these things from the past, like, I'm in those at times. I still feel those. What a wonderful opportunity to take those and come to Jesus with those. Man, I'm still like, when I was 16, when I was whatever, 24, I'm still in that spot, and bring that. I might be ashamed of this. Bring it to Christ, to His feet, and just openly, like, here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm wrestling with. This is who I am. This is what I'm ashamed of. Until there is no shame. How about you? Do you feel that amazing forgiveness? Do you walk in that? Do you know how clean you are? That Jesus took that. Took whatever shame, whatever, I don't know, whatever you would like to hide, nailed it to the cross with Him. And I don't have to have an appearance. I don't have to be anybody on the outside. I'm known. So the second question is, can we be people who accept people? can we be people who someone could show us who they truly are? Show us the depth of that whatever darkness or whatever shame or whatever hurt and find acceptance from us. Find forgiveness from us. And I think part of the reason that that's so challenging is I see in us that as people, it's like, yeah, I want to accept this person, but if I do, I might pass on this idea that I approve of their lifestyle. Jesus might pass on, oh, I really approve of this lifestyle that you're living, woman. So no, instead of that, I can't just accept you. I need to make sure you know that's not okay. And then I'll accept some other part or something. But that's not the way of Christ. He accepts and forgives, and from that transforms. He doesn't ask us to change first, and then we can come and find acceptance and forgiveness. He accepts and forgives us, and from that we are changed. And I think of it kind of like a dog with a bone. As you may know, chicken bones are not good for dogs, because like other birds, chickens have hollow bones. And so their bones break into little pieces and they can get stuck in their throat and different places. And so I'm sure most of you, if you have dogs, you have given your dogs chicken bones, but you're not supposed to, right? So imagine you have a hungry dog and the hungry dog has found chicken bones and the dog is eating chicken bones. One approach is to go to the hungry dog and hit the dog and yell at the dog and try to take the chicken bones from the dog. Do not eat these. Try to open its mouth. No, no, bad. And if the dog is really hungry, it's going to take the bones, it's going to run somewhere where you're not and try to eat them. I'm presuming it's hungry. And I think that's how we are sometimes with people around us. No, that's not good in your life. Stop doing that. Give me that. What are you thinking? That's bad for you and it hurts other people. And instead, I think God offers us a steak. Instead of trying to beat the dog and get the bones, it says, you're hungry. You know what you want? You don't want chicken bones. Those are pathetic. Seriously, those are lame. And they hurt your stomach and throat. And here's a steak. This is what you want. And when a hungry dog sees a steak, it leaves the pathetic chicken bones for the steak. And I think that's what Christ offers us. When we have this broken stuff in our life, instead of just condemning us and whipping us, says, this is what you want. You want acceptance and forgiveness and life and love. And I'll give it to you. And you don't have to hang on to these things that you've held on to try to make life work and to try to deal with life. Try to satisfy a hunger that never satisfied. Can we do that? Can we offer people acceptance? Or will it make them just hang on to their chicken bones? Can we be people who pass on that love and acceptance that we've been shown? So I want to ask you, the second thing I want to ask you to do is right now. I want you to look at the two people on either side of you. Some of them you know, some of them you might not know. No, you're good. It's okay if you know them. And I want you to just silently where you're at. I want you to pray and ask God to help that person be a person of acceptance and forgiveness, trusting that God can use that to actually transform people. So, we're just going to take a minute. If you'll pray for the person next to you, pray that God would help them to be that person who's accepting and forgiving, trusting that it'll actually make a difference in people's lives. And then just the last thing I want you to look at, just throughout your week, throughout your day, is there someone you find that needs acceptance and forgiveness? Maybe you already have somebody in mind. Maybe it's someone you will encounter or something that will come up later, The third thing I want to ask you to do is, if you see someone in your life who needs acceptance and forgiveness, to grant it to them. And that's easier said than done a lot of times, especially if they've really annoyed you or worse, done, dishonored you, but one of the cool things in the story, I think, is that at the end of the story, Jesus says to this woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And it's interesting because she never said a single thing, at least that's recorded. All she did was sat there and cried and was just like, "Jesus, you are amazing." But what she did is she had the courage to come to Jesus and bring herself and to appreciate Him and appreciate that gift that He gave her. And that faith, that was the faith. And that faith had saved her. And I'm sure she walked away in peace. And I'm sure her life was different from that day on. And I'm sure she still stumbled. She went in peace. And sometimes in our life, I hope that we're the people that who really can't accept and forgive others. Sometimes in our life, we will have people who, when we share those stories in our life, they'll be like that punk kid behind me. Be like, "You struggle with that? Oh, come on. That's baby stuff." But God will never be that person. Anytime we come to God in the midst of us, of our humanity, in the midst of who we really are, He will receive us. He will accept us. He will forgive us. And He has forgiven us in Christ. And we can walk as forgiven people because in Christ we have been forgiven. And He's never going to laugh at us. He's never going to be ashamed of us. He's going to always say, "Yeah, if you knew who this was, I do know who this is." And I'm proud of them for being real, for coming. And let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for what You've done. Jesus, I thank You so much that You have received me. Man, I still am at times ashamed of who I am, ashamed of the things I've done and the things that I go back to. I thank You that You're never ashamed of me. Thank You that You always receive me. Thank You that You've forgiven the deepest, darkest depths of my sin and rebellion, my selfishness. Thank You for transforming me and giving me Your heart of love. Thank You that You continue to receive me. Thank you that you desire to know me and be known by me. Thank you that I can come to you any moment. Thank you that I am with you. God, I ask that you would give us the courage to be real, the courage to be honest, the courage to not bank on our pathetic, righteous outer selves that we can build up, but to know that we are forgiven and loved. May your love continue to transform each one of us. May the expression of our life be love pouring out to you and to others because we have been forgiven. Thank you for loving me. I love you, God. I desire to bring more of myself to you, to continue to walk with you. God, I lift up those places where people around us who need your love and acceptance. Use us as your vessels. Give us the courage and strength to remember how much we've been forgiven and to love and forgive. In Jesus' name, amen.